the people, the places, the stories with Ashley Walsh
on ABC Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill.
Well, it might surprise you to find out the South Australian Bridge Association is the largest bridge club in Australia, and it's more than doubled its membership in the past 7 years. And right now they're about to start their classes for 2017. And to talk a bit about the game of bridge and what's involved in becoming elite in the sport, if we can call it a sport, is Barbara Travis and her daughter Lauren, who are both members of the South Australian Bridge Association, keen players, and have both represented Australia at senior and junior levels respectively. Barb and Lauren, good morning.
Hello, Ashley.
Now, you're a bridge-playing family, and it's probably continuing a tradition for you, Barb, because you came from a bridge-playing family.
Well, I came from... My parents played bridge, but not at high levels competitively, but my siblings and I all got into it in a big way, so my brother is also a top player. And somewhere along the line, Lauren decided she wanted to learn to play as well, so that was rather gratifying, yes.
It would be. So, Lauren, why would you want to leave your iPad and your mobile phone and all those sorts of things and play a game like bridge?
Oh, she got me young enough that I didn't have a phone yet. But Mum was teaching a series of lessons to kids from our neighbourhood, and so I joined in then. And it was good to learn with people my age rather than the typical bridge demographic.
Now, what is the typical bridge demographic?
Well, I think people view the bridge demographic as 60-plus retirees, but that's not necessarily the case, at least not in Adelaide. We still have a lot of older players, but our age range in the club is from a 12-year-old who's going to be a really good player, through to people in their 90s. Our oldest member died just before she was 103, but that was a few years ago. So for older people, it's a lovely social outlet. And for younger people, bridge has other benefits as well, mixing with adults and on an equal standing, just the whole intellectual challenge of the game as well. So demographically, I think we've shifted down probably about 10 years in Adelaide, but we haven't got young people because, as you said, it's hard to either get them away from their iPads or games they can play on their Xboxes or whatever they have now because I'm a bit old.
All those sorts of things.
Did I get that right? And, you know, whereas my family was a little bit different, I always played board games and my kids grew up playing board games and card games. And if you do that, it's a natural progression to play bridge.
Well,
and
that's right. As a kid, I can remember my grandmother. They played, her and her friends and brothers and sisters, they always played euchre. That seemed to be their game of choice, the game of euchre. I want to talk about the numbers playing, but I suppose we should establish basically what is bridge, though. Who wants to tackle that one? How do you describe the game of bridge?
I describe bridge, apart from being a card game, as it's a partnership game. So you play with a partner against two people. And it's a game that involves both trick-taking and the use of a trump suit. So you've got the four suits in the pack of cards, but in a lot of situations you have a suit that's the boss suit. So it's a euchre and 500 are wonderful steps along the way to bridge, and bridge is probably the most challenging of the card games. And in terms of brain research, they think that it's probably the best for keeping your brain active even into your older years because of the social elements and the slightly randomness elements of having a partner doing things to you and two opponents rather than one.
We're talking to Barb and Lauren Travis, who are both members of the South Australian Bridge Association, here on ABC Adelaide, South Australia and Broken Hill. If you'd like to ring in with a question about bridge, or maybe you're a bridge player yourself, by all means, give us a call, 1-300-222-891. So, Lauren, let's take it from your perspective, in your 20s, but obviously you've been playing. How long have you been playing bridge?
I learned in 2005, so... Yeah, 12 years,
half my life. Yeah, half your life you've been playing bridge. So how hard was it for you to pick it up?
Well, it was fairly easy. Like Mum just said, I'd been playing card games my whole life, so moving from euchre and whist and things into bridge is not as difficult as it would be if I hadn't played any card games. And it helped me. I was in high school. It helped me with my maths and things in high school as well, so it kind of was a reciprocal thing that using my brain and counting and figuring out, you know, percentages and things in bridge sort of helped me in other aspects of my life. So,
So where does the maths come into it and the percentages you talked about? What sort of percentages are you trying to calculate?
Well, you've got 52 cards you've got 13 of them and the 39 are in the other hand. So trying to think about where they might be and thinking about someone's got 13 cards. So if you know what 11 of those cards are, what could the other two be? And working on it based on that, trying to work out the hand before you see their cards.
Mm.
I think I left out one step in describing bridge, and that is you and your partner try to exchange information. That's all done legally by what we call bidding, but the bidding is like a language, and it is the exchange of information whereby you can make decisions. So some of that information is arithmetic in terms of helping you solve where you're going, and some of it is using logic, and all of that goes hand in hand. So lots of people think that bridge is good for people who are mathematically fantastic, but it's actually also really important to be logical. So we have a lot of lawyers who are good bridge players as well. Perhaps they go hand in hand.
Well, how do you exchange that information between the players on the same team?
We have bids, so we all take turns to make bids,
right.
And those bids convey information that everyone is allowed to know what the meaning is.
So give us an example of what might happen then.
Okay, if I had a hand with five or more hearts, and we allocate points to the aces, kings, queens and jacks, so if I had 12 of those points, I would start the bidding, and if I was playing with Lauren, I might say one heart. And Lauren will now know, as will everyone else at the table, that I've got at least 12 of these points, which we call high card points, and at least five hearts. And then if she's got enough points, she will make a bid to then exchange some information back with me. And then we have some scoring mechanisms in place. So there are targets where there are varying rewards for bidding to different levels. And so we are using the numbers to work out whether we need to go higher or whether we need to stop in our bidding. And that bidding determines how many of the tricks we have to take out of the 13 tricks that there are.
It sounds incredibly complicated. You're explaining it well, but for someone who knows nothing about cards apart from probably 21 and the game of fish, which I wasn't bad at.
So when you go to lessons, and at Saba we run beginner's lessons for 8 weeks, lesson one is probably the hardest because you have this massive amount of information, or lessons one and two, and then you're starting to put it all into place. So we explain all of that, and we try to make people be on top of that before we move on to the next step.
Mm. Are there different versions of bridge? I was reading something about a game, duplicate bridge. Is that different again?
Duplicate bridge is a form of contract bridge, but it's just the type of scoring you use. So in duplicate bridge, if you have 10 tables of people playing bridge, they'll all play the same cards in the same way. And then you can compare what different people did on the hand. Whereas if you're just playing at home, you'd probably just have two packs of cards and deal them out and work on how many points you've got rather than comparing what you did on this set of cards to what other people did on the same set of cards.
And the element of that, so duplicate bridge is competition bridge and you get a winner at the end. And the fact that everyone's playing the same cards eliminates some of the luck factor of just shuffling and dealing the cards at home. So at home, if you're playing for money, whether it's 5 cents or $100, if you're lucky, you'll do really well. That luck is reduced in terms of competition bridge because everyone gets the good hands or the bad hands.
And there are things called safe and danger hands too, is that right?
Well, yes, that's getting really complicated.
Is it?
Though.
Oh, let's move on then. But you mentioned playing for 5 cents perhaps. When you play bridge, is there a gambling aspect to it or not?
Attilio would say, Attilio from Mile End, who rings in all the time. Saturday Quiz would say yes, because he's a bit of a gambler. Lauren and I would probably say sometimes, but it's more about being disciplined and using the information you have really soundly.
Because it's not one of those games you see played, or I don't think played at casinos, is it? They do play other card games like poker and pontoon or 21, whatever you want to call it. But you don't see it played in casinos, I don't think, do you?
No.
Is that because of the difficulty that it's just too complicated, or why has it never been accepted as a gambling type card game?
Well, you can only have four at a table and you need four for that to work too. So that would limit the scope in a casino. But probably the complexities of it, even though poker's got lots of complexities as well.
You can sit down at poker and try your best, whereas at bridge you'd probably be really lost if you tried to do that.
Well, now, are the games interchangeable in terms of if you're a good bridge player, do you pick up the other games like poker, for example, or are we talking someone playing golf, someone playing tennis?
Yeah, I think it's a bit like golf and tennis.
Right.
Yeah. We do have some good bridge players who are excellent poker players, and a lot of our younger people play online poker for their living but also play bridge, but that's not the norm.
We're talking to Barb and Lauren Travis, mother and daughter. Both represented Australia in bridge and members of the South Australian Bridge Association. But for something to the uninitiated that seems really complicated, I can't get over the number of people who are playing bridge. In fact, I think it's the most popular card game in the world now.
It's just that it's so stimulating. You can learn bridge, and it sounds really complicated, but you can learn bridge to a very basic standard and play and survive. Or you can keep learning to whatever level you want. And at the top levels, we would say we're still learning every time we play bridge. So a lot of our players learn and then just go and play and just keep playing at that standard. And we run graded sessions. So once you've learnt to play, we don't abandon you and say, now you're going to go out and play against the people who've been playing for 50 years. Mm-hmm. We take you into a supervised session where you've got someone to help you if you get stuck. And I think that's really helping the popularity of the game.
But you've got the numbers of people who are playing in South Australia, particularly at the Bridge Club in Unley. And I've been to that Bridge Club for a quiz night one night with Attilio, who you mentioned. You've got a lovely facility there. And the numbers of people playing, I think you're basically playing 7 days a week there.
Six now, sometimes we have Sunday activities. But, yeah, six daytimes and four night times.
And the numbers are incredible.
The numbers are really good. We had 56,000 people play bridge through the club last year.
that's a lot of people.
And as I said, some people are playing like 200 plus times a year. One lady would have played 250 times last year.
That's five times a week, roughly.
Five times a week. She has different partners. She has a wonderful social life. She sits and plays bridge. It doesn't sound very social, but it is considered some of their social life.
But you also have satellite clubs too, don't you?
We do. We have four other clubs at the moment, one at Fullerton, one at Walkerville, one at Somerton Park, and one at Campbelltown, and there's soon to be one at Hillcrest.
So it's spreading out from Unley as well. And they've got club rooms themselves? Or do they hire venues?
They're locations within those suburbs, not club rooms.
Right. Well, now, you're a bridge teacher and a coach, so you must have helped Lauren.
Yes.
And was she a good teacher? Was she a good teacher, Lauren?
She was a good teacher, probably long-suffering at the time, having a teenage daughter who she played bridge with.
She was a very challenging girl to teach because she was so quick at picking it up. And it's really special when you get someone who just understands concepts straight away. But a couple of the things she saw in like lesson two, I've never seen anyone, she taught me and I use those concepts as a teacher now.
Gee.
So she was just had a natural affinity for it. And in my 10 years teaching, or 12 years, there would have been five people like that.
So Lauren, how long do you think it took you to be really good? Because let's say you've started, what did we say, 12 years?
12, yeah.
So half your life. How long do you think it took you, given that Mum said you were a quick learner, to pick it up and be really playing confidently as a bridge player?
Probably 6 or 7 years.
Right.
I still wouldn't consider myself a very good player. I play a lot less than I probably should. But, yeah, it took me probably 6 years to really think that, you know, I got this, I understand what I'm doing.
But are there a lot of, I know you've represented Australia in the youth team, are there a lot of young people around Australia who are taking up the game like you've done?
There's more than you'd imagine. The youth championships are held in Canberra each year and they get about 40 young people. So some of them are from New Zealand, but most of them are from around Australia. So that's a pretty good turnout for people who will actually go and spend a week sort of at a camp in Canberra playing bridge.
Mm. And who are under 25 on the whole. And the people change each year, so there are new people coming through.
Mm. I'm surprised so many young people are playing. That's the thing, and it's a good thing. And it must be good for you to go and play against other young people too, is it?
Yeah, it's really good. I've made a lot of good friends over the years playing youth bridge because you have people your age who you have a mutual interest with. So straight away, you know, you have something to talk about. It's not awkward at all. So, yeah, it's really good.
But, Mum, you've done well. You've made the Australian team.
Yes.
Women's team.
Yeah, I've done that on and off since 1981. We're in the team this year, and it's been great. When I was younger and I didn't have as much money, I tended to fly into the location and fly out, but now I try to see a little bit of the place. Mm-hmm. You see your friends from around the world as well. I think one of the things Lauren didn't mention just then about Youthbridge is that if she travels, she's got people to go and visit as well, they're always welcoming. And when I first travelled, I didn't realise how welcoming Bridge players were. So you can just contact someone, they'll say, come and stay.
Oh, really? So it's a bit of a family gathering, is it?
Bridge in common, yeah,
family sense of Bridge players. It's lovely, isn't it? And so tell us about the classes. If people have been intrigued by what you've been talking about this morning and think, yes, I'd like to know more, or I'd like to be a bit more active and use the brain a bit more.
So our next classes actually start tomorrow night, Monday nights or Tuesday mornings. There are a couple of spots available there, or if you're down Somerton Parkway, next Tuesday morning. And otherwise, they're on Monday nights and Tuesday mornings with terms. So that's the 1st and 2nd of May, I think. And if they wanted to follow up on it and get in quickly, they would be able to ring the South Australian Bridge Association tomorrow morning on 8373 3995.
8373 3995.
I could give the email address.
Yep,
but,
sure. Or the website. If people go to the website, you've got a very good website, which you just type in South Australian Bridge Association.
And that's saba.asn.au. And that is a good website, and you could email the manager, but I don't think that would get through if you were interested for tomorrow.
Right, so maybe just get on the phone first thing tomorrow morning and book your place. But if it's a bit late now, a bit short notice, is there another intake later in the year for people?
1st and 2nd of May, and then at the beginning of term 3, I don't know those dates, then at the beginning of term 4.
So it pretty much works in with the school terms, doesn't
it?
Yep.
And the satellite clubs, we also have one lot of lessons a year. So we'll go from Somerton Park. It'll probably be
Walkerville
in term 2.
Yep.
Probably
and
something
then work
like
your
that.
Way through like that. Yep. And do people just do one term? Is that enough to get them started?
It is enough to get people started. Sometimes people do repeat, but mostly it's enough to get them started, and we like to then get them playing bridge and see the addiction kick in.
Mm. Well, Helen just sent a text from the Eyre Peninsula to say that my family played and she learnt when she was 10, and she still plays in her 60s. So there's a lot of enjoyment to be had if you take it up as a game.
It's a lifelong activity.
Can it be a bit frustrating, though? I mean, picking at all the little nuances to it?
Yes. And you improve and then you plateau, and then sometimes you get worse and then you improve again. So it can be incredibly frustrating at times, but it can be incredibly rewarding as well.
But you both must love it.
Yeah, we do.
Or you wouldn't do it otherwise, would you?
Correct.
You'd go and do something else. Of course. Lovely to meet you both this morning.
Yes.
It's been terrific. And thank you for trying to explain. I know in only a few minutes it's a bit hard to explain everything that's involved with the game of bridge, but hopefully we've whetted a few people's appetites and you might get a few more at your classes.
Thank you, Ashley.
Nice to see you both this morning. Talking to Barb and Lauren Travis, mother and daughter, both members of the South Australian Bridge Association. And that number, if you'd like to see if you can get into a class, it's 8373 3995, or just have a look at the internet. And if you go to type in South Australian Bridge Association into a search engine, and it'll come up pretty easily for you.